God bless you all. Tonight, I've titled my teaching, What is Your Perspective of Life? Perspective is a particular attitude towards something, regarding something, a point of view, an understanding gained by perceiving things around you. To perceive is to become aware of something, to have an understanding. And I think there's probably no doubt in anyone's minds that we perceive right now that we are in troubled times and that the adversary is running wild. And yet, there's also another perspective. And I just love that song, Something Good is Going to Happen, because that's God's perspective. Mm-hmm. Something good is going to happen every moment of the day when you turn to our Heavenly Father, when you trust Him. I just love the word good because I think it comes from God because He oozes out goodness. Everything that He has is good. And I think really when you talk about German chocolate cake, that's good. But when it comes to God, He is good. I think we ought to add a couple more O's to that.
Yes.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 first and get started here. On God's perspective of life, because in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created that so that man would have a place to be. After He created everything, He put man inside the garden, and on the sixth day, it says, let's look at Genesis 1:31. It says, then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God's perspective of His creation is, it is very good. Not just good, not just sometimes good, but very good. In that word very, it just gives that great emphasis. He told Joshua to be strong and very courageous. He tells us that we need to expect to be blessed exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. We can ask or think. This is our God. He does beyond anything we can imagine. But we have to keep looking at His perspective in life and not get distracted by the things of this world. And a lot of people look at the law. You know, talk about religion. A lot of people think, well, we have to abide by the law. Well, the problem with the law is it could never be completely perfected until Jesus Christ came. He had to fulfill the law. We could never live perfectly. So it's not about what we do. It's about what God has done, and we accept what He has done. Bob's been talking a lot about, he asked the question, how do you get closer to God? And the answer is, you do nothing. Because God is in the very breath that you take. His seed is inside of you. You can't get any closer to Him, but you can accept all that He's given to you. Because when we think that we have to get closer, that means we have to work towards it. And God does not want us to work towards us. He wants us to receive all that He has. Well, so God's perspective is everything is, all that He did is very good. He gave, put Adam in the garden, He made him have dominion over everything and basically freedom of will, choice to obey or not, and to have control. And that control was even if evil was to come, that he could say, you know, you're under my feet. Well, the adversary changed things. He went to the little lady and said, you know, God didn't really say that. He didn't go to Adam. He went to the little lady and said, God didn't really say that. Because what he did is, and what he does do, is he turns the goodness of God into thinking that God is forsaking you in some way. That he doesn't want you to have everything that you should have. So when he said you could eat of the tree of the good and evil, God said, if you eat of it, you shall surely die. He says, well, did he really say that? And wouldn't it mean that he doesn't want you to be your own God? And that's basically what he was saying. He's, turning Adam away from God. He's trying to separate him from God. And that's the sly lie that he uses today. And you see it throughout our culture today. Be your own God. You know, you can even choose your own sex. You can change from a male to a female. Mm-hmm. That is contrary to God, and it takes a lot of work, and it doesn't work. So we cannot believe the lies, but we want to live with the perception that God is something good that's going to happen to us today. Isn't that a better way? Doesn't he say that be anxious for nothing? Yeah. So that evil that the adversary puts out there, you don't even have to be anxious about it. Don't be worried about it. But in everything with prayer and supplication, getting closer to him, doing the things that God wants you to do, and you know, you go to work, take God with you. You know, expect that when you're working, I was an accountant for many years, and there was things that I didn't know, and I'd say, okay, Father, help me figure this statement out or something. And he did every time. You know, he wants to bless us. I used to tell my kids, when you're taking a test, just speak in tongues. God will bring to remembrance the things that you've learned, because otherwise you get anxious and you can't remember. But take advantage of who you are. When we were in St. Louis for Thanksgiving, and our two-year-old son, grandson, we went to a mommy's group at this little church that she started going to the group with, and I was quite surprised that he went up to this little boy and took his toy. But my grandson's going to do that? And yet, that's a two-year-old's perspective. If there's a toy, I can have it. And yet, God says to us, be imitators of God as dear children. And what do they imitate? They imitate the trust and the love. My two-year-old grandson, Evan, he doesn't think when he walks in the house that he's going to has to beg to get food or where am I going to sleep or anything like that. He knows everything is provided for him. Well, we need to do that with God. We have a relationship that is so rich and powerful with our Heavenly Father, and all we have to do is enjoy it and not allow the lies of this world to alarm us. I believe our Heavenly Father has designed the plans for all of our lives with great success in mind, but we must keep our eyes on an eternal perspective. Always looking forward with God directing our steps and not looking behind at failures, discouragement, or distractions. God only wants good for our lives. He oozes out unfailing love. He will never, never leave us, nor never, never forsake us. The lies that the adversary says, well, your prayers aren't going to be answered because I saw those thoughts that you had the other day. Mm-hmm. God doesn't think that way. If you pray, he hears, and he will bless you. He'll take care of you. Don't ever allow lies to separate you from your Heavenly Father, because he looks at you as Christ. There's Christ right there in Judy. He doesn't look at her as someone that doesn't have a car. You know, physical, we look at things physically, which is funny because she just sold her car. But I couldn't think of anything that was unusual about her except her beautiful smile. So he just wants to bless us. We are believers and we are called to believe God's viewpoint, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't believe. We must put our eyes on Christ, not our problems, not on our abilities or the 6 o'clock news. Abraham was a great example of this. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Can't you see that there's such a contrast in the world today of what the adversary wants? And he wants us to get all riled up and excited and thinking, this is doomsday. But you know, there was doomsday a long time ago, too. There's always been a doomsday when you look at what the adversary's done. And yet, because of a believer standing throughout the Old Testament, even when Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed, Abraham said, you know, God, if there was only 40 people, 40 believers there, will you not spare the city? And then he went down to 30 and 20 and then 10, and there weren't anybody, so they had to get out of there. But God wants to take care of his people. So in Romans chapter 4, let's start in verse 13. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We aren't successful because of what we do, how good we are, how often we pray, how often we read the Bible, but it's by the seed of faith, because the law can never redeem us. Through the righteousness of faith, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And here's the key here. And not being weak in faith, he did consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. It was pretty obvious. You know, things are not going to happen. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver or stagger in the King James. I'm using the New King James, by the way. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham believed God. It wasn't possible for him to have a child. So he actually thought, okay, God, he tried to help God fulfill his promise by taking Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden, and she got her pregnant, but that wasn't God's plan. God calls those things that be not as though they are. How many things in our lives don't look like there's the possibility, but he calls them. If we believe, if we find the promise of God, we believe it, walk out on it, talk to God about it. You know, there's a relationship here. Eternal life is about a relationship with the Father, knowing him intimately in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, isn't that wonderful? He staggered not, and that's what we have to get to be. We stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but in faith, giving glory to God, and what he had promised he will also perform. So that is God's perspective, right? That's a pretty wonderful thing. Our faith is counted to us as righteousness who believe. Do you know your value to God? How valuable are you today, tomorrow, and for all eternity? God has an individual plan for each one of us. And we need to realize and appreciate and receive his plan. It's a good question, right? How valuable are you? You represent the risen Christ. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. There's no other power around. There's no money that could ever do something like that. You are called to do the works that Jesus did and greater works, calling people back to the Father through the Son. You need to determine to receive all that our Father has provided and destined us to have and be. Can you see in your mind's eye God's call on your life? Each one of us were called before the foundation of the world. That's how valuable our lives are. Never accept the lies of the enemy that God's done with you. Each one of us, from the very until we breathe our last breath, God has a plan for us. And we need to be ready to accept all of the Father's assignments. When we wake up in the morning and say, Father, what have you got for me today? I'm going to use an illustration. It was a long time ago, but we have two sons that are 18 months apart. They both live in Northern California, both have wonderful wives, and each have two sons, and they're great believers. When they were very little, and both in diapers and cribs, my main responsibility was to nurture them 24/7. Bob worked for IBM as a salesman, and I was home with the children. And we also had the fellowship going on. And my world changed. My world was centered around our kids. And one day I was ironing, and I know this vividly because it really changed my whole perspective forever. And I was ironing one of his white 100% cotton shirts, and he's not a little man, it's a big shirt. And I'm ironing it, and I said to God, am I ever going to be able to minister to the believers again? They just have to change diapers, and is that what my purpose is? And I didn't hear an answer, but I heard a phone call. And the phone rang at that very moment, and a believer who was in our fellowship called and said, is Bob available to talk to? And I said, no, he's working, but I can help you. See, I changed my perspective right away. I can help you. And so she came over, and during nap time, and we talked, and she loved the word. She had taken Power for Abundant Living and just really saw how important her life was, but she also lived contrary to the word of God. And she says, I said, well, what's going on? She says, well, I'm a call girl. I'm thinking Girl Friday, something like that. But I was wrong. My perspective was wrong. She was a prostitute, and she knew that that wasn't right. But that was her perspective of what her life was all about. She was involved in drugs and everything else, but I didn't know any of that. I just said to her, well, I guess we have to get rid of your little black book and get rid of any way that you can work that. And I ministered to her, and she she left quite soon after that. And within a year, I heard back from her that very moment that I ministered to her, all the devil spirits that had been taunting her completely left, and she was free. And if I hadn't said, I can help you, she probably would have died at that time. And I think what a blessing it was for me, but I also think I have great compassion for moms, too, because there is a transition in our lives where we are stuck with the diapers and the messy kids and all this, and yet that is one of the greatest ministries we can have, is raising our children and teaching them the Word of God. So God has an assignment for us all the time. You could be walking, you could be on a walk, and he'll say, well, go talk to that person, the gardener over there. Or you're at the grocery store and just mention something to someone. Paula does this a lot. We each have a ministry. We each have a message. And we don't want to miss out on blessing someone because there are rewards for that. And you just change your perspective to, there's something good going to happen to me and to someone else because I'm carrying Christ in me and I'm going to minister. We can serve God and exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we are, whatever we are doing. Another thing to remember, when God gives us the ministry, he fully equips us. Even retirement gives us more time to love and give and especially care for the next generation. We need to protect them, teach them how good God is and set an example because that's not what they're going to hear. in the world. Apostle Paul said, you know, he was a great man. He did all the law. He knew what he thought he needed to do. He was a Pharisee. And yet, when he got born again, he accepted Jesus Christ. He said, all those things that were before, he pressed towards the mark. He forgets all that which was before, behind him, and he presses towards the mark of the prize of high calling. And he was a man that could have lived in condemnation his whole life. How many Christians did he persecute? And then he has to come in fellowship with all these Christians who probably lost their relatives because of Paul's zealousness. And yet we don't look behind us. We look forward to the great assignments that God has for us and something good that will happen to us. So I encourage you to just ask the Father, what more do you want me to do? And realize that His good oozes out for you so that you can ooze out to that love to someone else. So that's what I want to share tonight.
Yeah, and you never know what ministering to people, praying for them, talking to them, you never really know how that's going to affect them. And in this story that Jeannie shared with you with this gal, I mean, she left pretty soon from the area here, so we didn't really hear from her. But share how you heard about her deliverance.
Yeah, we used to get a magazine called The Way Magazine, and it had a section called Ye Are Epistles. And she wrote an article in there about how she had received the word, but she lived in conflict, and she told the whole testimony on it, that she had called me and talked to me. And you know, I wouldn't have known that if it hadn't been for that. I did meet her a couple of years later at a Rock of Ages, and she had gone, was a WOW ambassador in Guatemala or somewhere. But you just never know, and many times we never will know what our life has done for someone, but we just keep doing it, because that's what the Father wants us to do. Father, we thank you for the privilege of loving you and loving your people. I thank you that you have fully equipped us with everything that we need to bless, and thank you for the days ahead that we can see that every day you've got something good, and something good is going to happen to those around us because we believe. So I thank you for health for each one of us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. I thank you for a great peace that we can walk out on because it was given to us by Jesus Christ. So again, I just thank you for the privilege it is to be your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.